This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is also a shout-out Friday from the 469. Shout out to Tolo Jeremy, to the love of my life, new Tolo, and they're rather disappointed that Mike is not here today. That's okay.
Why?
Mike.
What is it you like about Mike so much?
Mike is on assignment doing Rangers baseball. He will be back.
Yeah, that's his choice.
Monday.
Not ours.
Oh my gosh.
We didn't choose for him to be there. Did I push for it? Yes. Did I make comments to people high up in positions that could make that decision? Yes.
I like how that's objectively a nice thing, but he's saying it as if it was there's animosity in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's very similar to when Kevin goes out and it's me and Mike, and now we have to be serious all day because we can't just joke around. It's the same thing. Mike's not here. Well, he chose to leave. Too. That's on Mike today. So blame Mike for missing him, not us.
Oh my gosh. Hey. Time for the C-Block, starring Corey Majors.
I thought the segment was over and we could just go to break.
Oh, man. If you want to play a piece of audio that I think is amazing.
This is the Batman audio?
No.
Mike Green?
I think you should play cut 8 of Pete Fairbanks talking about the job he did pitching.
I did hear this. This is pretty good. Can you play this for us? This is fun.
Was it just a matter of command, location, selection, anything specific? No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
That's a level of honesty I'm looking for.
As a man that wanted to punch everything, all right?
Whatever question
former Ranger
he got,
Peter
right,
Fairbanks, by the way,
was probably going to be like an angry type of answer. I don't think he was angry at the reporter.
He just everything.
He's mad at himself for the way he pitched.
Everything needed to be yelled at that moment.
Fair.
He also sounds like an accountant. You know, like if you just kind of listen to the way he talks, maybe he's a CFO and he just doesn't know how to say it without HR coming down and yelling at him. So he's just like, I'm just going to say it like this. And then he said it that way.
Could be.
That's a possibility.
That's an interesting point.
I appreciate that audio, Kevin. It is very good. And that brings me to this question, which actually doesn't, but it does. How many people is the appropriate amount of people on an elevator? 877-881-1053. This conversation started earlier in the week, Kevin.
Yes.
And I'll get to the reason why in just a moment. Also want to give a shout out, if I can.
Of course.
To Broadus and Woolchuck and all of our guys at 105.3 The Fan who were on last night.
In your face, Bobby.
Bobby as well. You know how much I love Bobby. I include him in the show name, even though Sean doesn't. And Peyton as well. Because Peyton deserves it.
It's a lot.
Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton.
Go back to news.
They were good last night, dude.
Yes.
And if you were able to, if you were able to get into the Star last night and you registered and you were able to be part of it, I would love to hear from you because I want to know what that experience was like for you. If you were watching on the YouTubes and the Twitch last night, what was that experience like? Because from my perspective, those dudes knocked it out of the park.
Agreed.
I expect that. So my expectations are really high, but if you are looking for some good information heading into the draft, Draft 101 with Brian Broadus and company is the way to do it. So,
agreed.
By the way, our guys are great at this. I mean, I'm very impressed with how far our guys have come. The Woolchucks and the Broaduses and also Bobby. So, let us know. You have thoughts about this?
But like, you are a Bobby fan?
Love Bobby. What are you talking about?
The way you say it sometimes makes it feel like you're not.
I think Bobby knows exactly how I feel about him.
Okay.
Do you know who Byron Buxton is, Kevin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, baseball player.
Is he healthy?
Healthy enough to give a young fan a baseball autograph.
That is true. I just, you know, it feels like you have to always ask that question if Byron Buxton is brought up, because
that is true.
He's a really, really good baseball player.
Yeah.
With an asterisk, next line, when healthy.
Fair.
This came from at Brewers Babes. Twins Twitter was so helpful yesterday. Can you help again today?
Greedy.
And try to get some eyes on this to turn it into a happy story instead of a terrible one at Camden. For Camden and our buddy. Arguably, here's the story, Kevin. Arguably one of the worst baseball game experiences of my life last night. Camden, her son, or his son, was autograph hunting and was lucky enough to get his favorite Twins player, Byron Buxton, to sign his baseball. As the ball was being handed back to him by the usher, someone else grabs it and bolts.
No.
He is in an instant tears and inconsolable. Once I make it over to him from our seats, luckily chicken tenders and pizza helped ease the pain. But of course, when we got to the parking garage, he started to cry again. Now, first off, what is your food of choice whenever everything goes wrong? Right, like it's pretty easy. Pizza's fantastic, but chicken tenders are very easy to come by. You know, you can get them pretty much anywhere.
I like the hot dog.
Hot dogs are useful. Yes, Reggie?
I'm trying to remember where I went maybe 2 weeks ago where I wanted chicken tenders and they didn't have any. Ooh. It was wild because you're right. Chicken tenders are typically everywhere. Not that one place.
Outfielder Byron Buxton saw at Brewers Babe's tweets and said, hope to see you today or meet you at some point. We will make it right. I got you.
That's nice.
And then from at SEC432 tweeted, thank you so much to David Rubenstein. I'm glad I'm wearing my sunglasses or you'd see my tears. It looks like Kevin Byron Buxton handed a signed ball, batting gloves, and a bat to the kid. And that's everybody nice. Just about lost it whenever they saw that happen. Again, look, man, these guys are millionaire baseball players that don't have to do any stuff like that. And yeah, maybe they get a little love for it and stuff, but these little things for kids, for guys like me,
that
grew up in those moments where, you know, and I think all of us that are fans have experienced some sort of either it's a bad or a good, you know, exchange with our favorite athlete. But it makes an impact. And hopefully it's a positive impact, because just signing a bat and handing it over to a kid is just that makes their life for a few months, dude.
I can't remember who it was, but somebody who said something to the effect of, you know, 15 seconds or maybe a minute, that's all it takes for you, and it might be a memory for them forever, for better or worse. And I always thought that was a really good point.
Who does that, though? Just like intentionally take something that clearly is for a child as an adult.
That is shocking.
And this kid was 8 years old, 10 years old, something like that. You know, like that's, yeah. And I don't know if it was a teenager, maybe a teenager.
Okay. In my mind, it's one of these, you know, collectible fanatics that's like, ooh, Byron Buxton baseball, I must have it.
Yeah. Collectors from fanatics. Those are the people that we got to go after, right?
That's not exactly what I'm saying.
Gonna take it
from
them.
Yeah. You don't just, that's not cool, man. I don't like liars. I hate liars, and I hate stealers. If you've ever had something stolen, you understand that feeling. It feels gross, man. You feel gross if you walk into your apartment, it's just trashed because people flipped it over and took your
stuff.
I'm
a huge Steelers fan.
Well, Kevin.
I dispute that anyway. But let me ask you a question. What if you used to be...
Reggie has one drop in that bank over there, and it's that one, and it's awesome.
A Steeler.
What? Oh, wow.
And you felt really bad about it. And you stopped stealing and tried to, like, make up for the stealing that you used to do.
Oh, well, you know what? I give you credit because you haven't stealed anything since then. So I'm all right with you. From the 817, I had a Steve Buschel home run ball ripped from my hands by an adult when I was 10 years old.
We need to adjudicate that right now.
I do wonder, though.
Point them out. We'll handle it.
Was that when you went back to your seat and sat down and you were holding it? Somebody just walked up and said, yoink, got him. And took off? Or was this while the ball was still, like, coming into the area?
And you think that
I always have
the adult would argue, I was still in play.
Yeah, if the ball hits your hand and they're like, bomb, got it. I don't know. I'm always kind of curious about how that works. So
you think that's why Byron Buxton gave him a bat as well?
Maybe so.
Fight him off.
Maybe take it. Knock somebody out with that bat. Man, that's one of the reasons I can't have my kids having bats around the house.
Because you think they'll fight with
them? They'll definitely use it as weapons. They use anything as weapons in our house, man. Everything. Remote controls, pillows. You'd think a pillow is just for sleeping on or whatever, decoration. All right, back to the elevator conversation, Kevin. The other day, I was going to get on the elevator, and there were three younger women standing in front of me.
Mm.
And then the behind me, as I was walking in, there was an older man who may have smelled. I just kind of, by the looks of things, I was like,
"He looked like he smelled."
Looked like he smelled. So I see the elevator open. Three girls get onto the elevator. I get onto the elevator, hit door close very fast. So the door will close because that's what I do. I want the door to close. I want to get to where I'm going. And I avoid that. I could have been on an elevator with one person, but now I'm on the elevator with three other people. And I felt like I was kind of like, not that we squeeze in, we have regular size elevators.
Sure.
But I felt like now they could have gone up as three people. It had lots of space, but now we all have this awkward amount of space. What is the appropriate amount of people on an elevator?
See, I think in a regulation elevator, our elevator, I think the answer is six. And so you can still be comfortable.
Okay.
Because you have the four corners of the elevator, of which somebody can post up to each one. And there's still enough room in the middle to have two people positioned. I realize that metric changes depending on how slow the elevator is. And then it's like whoever you can cram in and the door will still shut, weight limit be damned. I get that. But in terms of this situation, I think six is my answer.
Here's the other part of this. One of the things I hate about getting on the elevator last is I know that I'm probably going to the last destination, which means I should probably be in the back of the elevator. So that all the people in the front can get off and we don't have to move around and act like we don't know who's going where. So in this moment, I was at the front of the elevator, pretty much with my nose up to the front of the elevator. Trying not...
Is it because you have to scan your card to get up here?
That too, but I'm trying to avoid any situation. I'm married. I got kids. I don't want to be in any trouble for anything. All right. So I'm just trying to look forward, stay out of any harm's way. I don't want anybody thinking. I looked at them the wrong way. So I don't even look at things. I'm just saying. All right. I don't even look.
Okay.
Most of the time.
Oh, my God.
But I'm at the front of the elevator. And now, whenever it gets to floor four, they're all shuffling around, and I got to move out of the way. I don't like that. So I also feel like when you get on the elevator, you should announce, I'm going to this floor. Y'all should probably get in front of me because it's going to be awkward whenever we get out.
Look at the buttons?
Yeah, I was like, that's kind of what the pushing of the button is, isn't it?
I mean, I was the last one on the elevator, though. They didn't see me do that. Well, I guess they did. Maybe I'm right. Anyway, Reggie, how many people do you think is the appropriate amount of people on an elevator?
I haven't said this before. I think Kevin is correct. I think six feels about right.
Wow.
And, of course, different elevators have different dimensions. But enough for, I mean, if you start having, you know, touching other folks, at that point, there's too many people. Okay. If you can stand where you have a nice bubble, and I understand it's very American, where we have this, bubble of, space where we need to have that space between us. But if we have that, we're good. Once you're starting, like, shoulder to shoulder, it's too many. Somebody got to get off.
Now, I noticed that your metric completely changed on the cruise ship. Because on the cruise ship...
Those elevators are slow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And there's 8 million people. So we're fitting in.
Just take the stairs.
If it is physically possible, people... And I agree with that. It would just depend because we were on the, 12th or 13th floor. And if you get off the cruise ship... No, it was like 20 stories.
Oh.
Or floors.
Dude.
And you have to get off at the third floor. If you're getting off the ship, you might be like, hey, let's just take the elevator.
Just jump off the ship into the water at this point.
I would rather just take the elevator.
Water's cold.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, NBA champion and our Odyssey NBA insider, Danny Green, plus some Masterpiece of the Week. All of it coming at you next and more of your shout-outs on 105 Through the Fan.
Irving with 3 seconds. Shake and bake behind the back, drives inside, falling away at the buzzer. Kyrie Irving nails it. Such a difficult shot, made look easy, and Dallas has a 9-point lead.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan on a shout-out Friday. Tomorrow, our little buddy Jameson turning 3 years old. Happy birthday, Jameson. And now, as we get ready for the NBA playoffs, on the line is our Odyssey NBA insider, Danny Green. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, man. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. There's a lot to talk about, but as you could probably guess, we're going to start with Mavs and Clippers. This feels like one of the more hotly contested matchups in the first round. What's your vibe going into that matchup?
I mean, I'm hoping to see Kawhi's healthy. You know, the fact that he's been out for so long, the last couple of weeks, and participating in half the practices is not a good sign. But if healthy, I think this is the series, the first round that everybody wants to watch. This is the number one series to watch. It's very star-studded. I talked about it the other day when I was in ESPN. You got, you know, PG, Kawhi, James Harden against Luka, Kyrie. You got Russ out there as well, Norman Powell. You know, Clippers have still trying to find an identity, but they have a lot of guys that are really good from the L.A. area. And then Dallas has been playing extremely well, leading with Luka and Kai. And the other guys, since the trade deadline, have made some, you know, some progression. So this is the one, obviously, and they've had some – in the history, I would say it's a, kind of a rivalry. They've had a little bit of smoke on the hit in the past. So it's one of those, you know, you want to see Luka and those guys go at it. So he always plays well when he plays them. So this is one of the matchups that everybody's looking forward to watching.
When Kyrie is in play, can you explain playoff mode Kyrie and how different he is? Like, can you explain what you can see from him?
So, Kyrie is not a guy that changes much. It's not like it's Jimmy. You know, Jimmy is one of those guys that through the regular season, he kind of coasts, and then playoff turns. Like, Kai is a killer all parts of the season, all parts of the year. But, you know, obviously the playoffs are way more intense, more locked in, and making more plays. He's probably on the ball a little more. He's just in the game more. You know, he's not resting as much. But so Kai is a killer throughout the season and playoffs. He's a guy that knows how to win. He's obviously won one. And, you know, you could teach these young kids, some of the younger guys in the locker room and even some of the older guys in the locker room, just what it takes, because I don't think there's any or many guys there that have one. So I expect him to, you know, lead the locker room in that sense. But, you know, Luka, him and Luka, you know, two-headed snake, they're going to be leading the way, and they're going to be – said that they were a matchup that's hell for any team that's about to face them.
You mentioned Jimmy, and we've got the last two play-in games tonight, but no Jimmy Butler, no Zion. Mm-hmm. Does that take away from the games at all? Or are you like, well, I mean, it is still the winner goes into the actual factual playoffs.
Yeah, it does. It takes away a little bit. It's tough to watch Miami without Jimmy, you know, and you want to kind of see that Miami-Boston matchup again with Jimmy. But if he's out for weeks, you're not going to get that. And they might not even win tonight without him. Zion being out takes away the excitement of the game. He had 40 and 11 before he went out in the last 3 minutes against the Lakers. So his explosiveness is something that fans always want to see. But New Orleans is still a really good team. So Sacramento. So, but Sacramento, even without Malik Monk, man, he's a spark off the bench. Kevin Herter shoot it very well. So those two guys, they're kind of, you know, we're missing out on some of the talent with some of these really good teams. It sucks, but the playoffs are still going to be good, man. It's still going to be fun, and sometimes it just happens that way.
When it comes to LeBron, what percentage of people are rooting for him, and what percentage are rooting against him, you think?
I think it's a 50-50 deal. I think there's maybe even more than that, because there's a lot of Bron lovers out there than there are haters, maybe 60-40, maybe 70. And then some people just love the Lakers. Some people hate them. You know what I'm saying? It's like America's team. A lot of people that are rooting for Dallas Cowboys are the Dallas fans usually. And the Lakers fans, if you're not a Dallas or Lakers fan, usually you hate them. And those only root for him because they're Bron fans. So he's got the Lakers and Bron fan on his side, which maybe 60-70%, but the rest of the world probably hates the Lakers and probably hates Bron. As well, because he probably beat a lot of their favorite teams.
Probably so.
You know, you make some good points, because I'm going to admit, I do not like the Lakers. I'm not against LeBron. I am against the Lakers, though.
I hate the Lakers. Man. You've seen them kill your team all these years. You're like, man.
That is definitely a fair statement. I don't want to dispute that whatsoever. What is your take on OKC? Because they got the number one seed, but also they're the youngest team in NBA history at an average of 23.9 years old to secure a number one seed. We always hear about you got to go through the playoff matchups, lose, and then work your way up. How do you feel about OKC going into this playoff?
I like them, man. They just don't have the experience. We'll see who the eighth seed is. I think they could – so they're not playing the Lakers, so that's the one they avoided. So they ain't playing either Sacramento or the Pelicans, and I think that's a round, especially with Sacramento being down, that they could win. So I like what they bring. They just lack some size and rebounding. But outside of that, man, it's crazy how young they are because they really are. They might even be, if they were a college team, they might be one of the youngest college teams if you put them in NCAA. Uh-huh. Without so many guys sticking college now, everybody taking COVID years and transferring. they're a really young team. So, but they have Shea. Shea, in my opinion, is MVP to lead that team from not being in the playoffs to number one seed. You got to put him in the top in my MVP. To me, he deserves the regular season award because that's what it is. But yeah, they're a really good team, man. They just lack some experience and lack some size rebounding. So that's what's going to hurt them. They come with a matchup that is going to out-rebound them. So Sacramento with Sabonis, that's going to be a lot for them. But if we know Zion and if they play against New Orleans, that could be a matchup that would be in their favor. But Valanciunas is really good rebounding too. So either way, it's tough for them. But they get up and down and run and shoot well. I like the pace that they play at. So I think they could definitely win the first round.
I don't want to put any words in your mouth, but theoretically what I'm hearing is if Dallas beats the Clippers, perhaps you would like the Mavericks in a matchup against the Thunder.
Yeah, I like that. I think they're more experienced. They have more size rebounding-wise. I expect Daniel Gafford. I expect P.J. Washington, all those guys to kind of eat in the paint some. Chet is very good at protecting the rim. Decent rebound, but they don't have enough Chets or enough rebounding to battle with those types of groups in that, you know, that front court. So, I like OKC for a first round, but I can't see them going further than a first round with the lack of size and experience.
I'm always curious about this. Whenever it comes to the coaches making these chess moves throughout the playoff series and each time, is it one of those things where they tell the players, hey, guys, in game one, we're doing this. In game four, we're going to do this. Or does it kind of develop and you just know the coaches came up with a new plan. They're bringing it to us today.
Yeah. No, there's no – it goes game by game. There's no – now, you may walk over some of the things. Like, all right, let's walk over our zone. Let's walk over this. Like, these are potential things we may throw in. But it goes game to game. Every game is a series within itself. And each game, it may change. You're like, all right, well, they're doing this. So now we got to figure out what we need to do to adapt to that. And what is their counter – what their counter might be, and what is our counter going to be to that counter? So you'll go over those things, but it goes game to game. You can't predict what's going to happen by game four of them playing a zone or a box and two, or you know, they might throw something crazy out there. You know, Nick Nurse, he's done some different things where you're just not going to prepare for it. And some coaches might do the same. You just don't know how they're going to guard. They may double, they may not double, they may play some zone. You got to adjust and adapt to how they do that per game.
Man, appreciate all the insight. Playoffs are about to get going for real. We'll catch up with you again next week. I'm already excited.
Definitely, man. I appreciate you guys, man. It's always fun.
There you go. That was Odyssey NBA Insider Danny Green. Insider Calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe 2024, equipped for adventure. And now, Masterpiece of the Week.
She said, list this.
What's happening, fellas?
Hey, Reggie.
Hello, Reginald.
There it is. Masterpiece of the Week is a segment that is done on this program every week in which we revisit the funny, stupid, odd things that have been said on this program. I know that there's been a little bit of concern headed into this particular edition.
Yes. Short shows.
A lot of short shows. No Mike Bassick. What are we going to do, right?
Canceled.
Nope, we're still here. We still got you. And I'm going to figure some of these things out as we go because I was not on a lot of these shows. So let's start here. Let's start with, apparently y'all had a Stars guest?
Oh, yeah, Brian Ray.
Yeah, Brian Ray, who said this.
It really doesn't matter where you finish.
Which I just think that's reckless. Like, that's inconsiderate.
Holy crap. This is my first time really hearing that. Like, I heard him while he was talking. I did not think about it in that context.
I think you should have a little more consideration for where you finish, right? Cool, like, Brian. Obviously, you want to make sure the matchup works
not
out well.
Cool.
That it gives you. But so, yeah, you absolutely want to make sure
where
you finish, right?
You can't go five hole without asking.
What are you laughing about?
Reggie?
Brian Ray is a fantastic guest.
Didn't dispute
in
that.
In his second appearance on this show, he has already made Masterpiece of the Week. Like, Mickey, it took him about 3 or 4 years to make Masterpiece of the Week.
Well, because we didn't know if he was, like, doing a bit.
And now is he? Is he intentionally trying to make
so.
It a Masterpiece of the
you
Week?
You guys convinced me he is.
I think so, too.
Also, just for some reason, sports language either always has been or has been corrupted and made sexualized.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, please.
Look, sports language is 100% fine.
That's why I love the Olympics, man. You listen to the Olympics during swimming, and they're like, and look at him, he's pumping hard, and he's swimming, and he's stroking. Listen to the Olympics commentators out of context, and you'll love it.
Kevin, I don't understand what you mean. A lot of things get said, and they're perfectly fine, like this.
So you smell your fingers after?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was Corey's fault because he was talking about G-Bag Nation at the Shell Shack.
They were at Shell Shack. And whenever you eat at Shell Shack, your hands are still covered in the seasoning from crab.
And then, yeah, Corey was like, and so.
What was that sound? Okay, thank you.
The
sounds like a slightly off-kilter Frankenstein.
Did
right
Kevin ask that question? Why wouldn't you? It smells amazing because it's
disrespectful.
You know what else is disrespectful? What Kevin's talking about here.
Put your junk away, then take your phone out. Or you keep your junk out and put your phone away.
It's all about respect, ain't it?
See? That's how you avoid the Juju Smith-Schuster conundrum. You don't have your junk and your phone out at the same time.
Is that like a rule that you live by?
I mostly, yes.
Wait, why? I thought you were going to give a definitive yes. Are there exceptions to this rule?
That's a personal question.
Okay, that's fair. Other things that might be personal, what Kevin says here?
Oh, I need bread. That was stupid.
I mean, what's the
context?
You don't need bread. You want bread.
That's a good point.
You desire bread. I need it.
Oh, you do need bread.
That's true when you're making it.
Boom!
Kevin?
In the history of our lives, that's like number 4 for me. So maybe 5. I'm losing like a million to 4 or 5.
One day I told my oldest son, Avery, I'm beating Kevin in these moments, like 1 million to 2. And he said, what happened on those two? And I said, I only remember my victory, son.
Well, I don't know if you remember this. There's typically other people on this show than the 3 of us. And I don't know. Masterpiece of the Week doesn't feel right without Mike. So he's been in Detroit handling the TV broadcast for Bally's. And I just wanted to make sure that he felt involved. So this is something that Mike said.
Thinking, what did I do?
And why? Why did I do it?
Why do I keep hitting the ball into my body parts?
What? Mike, is that the only one you got?
No, absolutely not. I also have this.
I'd love for him to get on his hands and knees right now and fill in the holes with the dirt like Fidrich used to do and maybe talk to the baseball for a second.
Yeah.
Okay.
That last Raymond, he has no idea what to do with any of that.
Play it one more time was the second yeah with a question mark is then the question that I'm going to pose for everybody.
I'd love for him to get on his hands and knees right now and fill in the holes with the dirt like Fidrich used to do and maybe talk to the baseball for a second.
Yeah.
I want to know more about why you have to talk to the baseball and everything.
Part of believing that everything has ears, you know?
This is tough. Do we have more?
No, let's vote.
Look, I still want to know why I defiantly said that I need bread. And I really like what Mike was saying there, but
I'm voting for you and the bread.
Okay, play that one.
That one's mine.
I need bread.
I don't know why I think that's hilarious.
There's a stutter in there, too. Like, he could not get that out fast enough.
I couldn't believe the shocking things. I need bread. I'm going to go with Brian Ray because
dude,
this is so not on purpose. I didn't even register this until you played it a few minutes ago.
It really doesn't matter where you finish.
That's right, Brian.
I would disagree.
Mike always gets my vote here, asking the important questions.
He's thinking, what did I do?
And why? Why did I do it?
Why do I keep hitting the ball into my body parts?
So your options.
Oh, no.
Me talking about bread, Brian Ray talking about where you finish, a goal, probably, and Mike Bass
in the standings,
Kevin.
What's
wrong with you?
In the standings.
Gotcha.
God.
Then I also disagree with that.
Well, that being said, I mean, you can finish a goal anywhere. Like, I think we're happy
as long as it's
goal.
In the net. Yeah. I feel like that's the most important part.
Yeah.
But sometimes you want to avoid
all
the
right.
net.
Pop okay.
it in there. For okay. Or Mike Bassick talking about hitting the baseball into his body parts. Twitch, YouTube, Fantex, 877-881-1053. Let us know your winner, and we will talk with G-Bag Nation next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Excellent, Heggy. How are you? Happy Friday, by the way.
Thank you very much. I'm doing well. I have a soccer question for you.
Nice.
Do you have, I know you are a lover and knower of many and all things soccer.
Uh-oh.
Do you have a preferred Premier League team? I'm sorry if I don't know the answer to
that. Oh, man, this is tough. Okay, so when Green Street Hooligans came out, I decided I was going to be a West Ham fan. Okay, so I jumped onto Google or Yahoo search, AOL search back in, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, whatever that was. And I did. I was chatting it up. And then they got relegated. Okay. I was playing FIFA. Ronaldo goes to Man United.
Yeah.
Okay. I fall in love with Giggs and Scholes and, you know, Ferdinand, everybody on that team. And then Rooney came through and, you know, it was amazing. They won the Champions League. They won the Premier League. Sir Alex Ferguson was managing his balls off. And it was a glorious time. And I would say still I feel that is where my fanmanship lies. That is okay. The team that I would prefer win the Premier League. Although it's not like I hate any of the other teams. I enjoy watching them play too, and I want them to win the Champions League. I'm just kind of a Premier League fan.
So my older son, I knew he liked Arsenal, but not until recently did I realize how much he liked Arsenal, because he started talking like tactics and upcoming schedule, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize. Like,
how long has he been a fan?
A couple of years.
Okay, so now, because Arsenal's back up top.
Yeah.
They're playing.
They're dominating.
Yeah, so you always wonder if, is fandom because of, did you just start being a fan because they were at now they're at the top of the table? So if he's been a fan for 2-3 years, then your fandom should be rewarded.
I think he sticks with them.
Send
because
him to a game.
He fell in love with the Chicago Bulls because he loved Jimmy Butler.
Right.
And then when Jimmy Butler got moved, I was like, are you going to move with him? And he goes, no, I feel like this is my team now. And he's stuck
answer.
With the Bulls,
Rooting
even though clearly they have been, well, hell, maybe they'll make the real playoffs tonight. But they have struggled for a while. So I feel like he is a dedicated fan. I just didn't realize how dedicated he was.
I think when you start winning and everybody's talking great about you, it's easier to increase your passion.
Okay.
Yeah.
He thinks they're going to blow it, though. Like, that's the thing. He hopes they don't. But he goes, I think
they got beat by Crystal Palace the other day, didn't they, right? That was something that they didn't expect to have happen.
But Crystal Palace, at least, or was it them or Aston Villa?
Aston Villa. I knew it was one of those two teams.
Because Villa's
the dual
pretty
names,
good.
The
See, I learned some stuff.
I was Palace Villa. Yeah, it's one of, but they was not. It was one of those teams that was near the bottom of the table, right?
That was
not expected, right?
That was who Liverpool lost to, I believe. And I believe Arsenal lost to a pretty good team. Like, just last week.
What am I thinking?
I
Tottenham's my team, and I haven't watched them play in months.
I just established.
No, Arsenal lost to Villa last week.
Thank you.
Aston Villa.
And Bayern.
I think it's pronounced Villa.
Are they good?
They're out of the Champions League.
Not those Brits. They'll say Villa. Oh, Aston Villa?
Yeah.
They're decent.
I thought the team they lost to
actually,
was
no, Villa's
fourth.
Top four right now. I
you
forget
know what?
That. Yeah.
Aha! Yes!
I wanted to, like, with what Dawson said about the Green Street Hooligans, like, I watched Jack to King, the documentary on Swansea City.
Oh,
and
cool.
It felt like it was 4 hours long. I don't even remember. It was just like, I had to keep watching it. And that's, I was like, all right, this is the team I'm going to watch from now on. And then they got relegated. And I was like, do I keep going with them, or do I don't know. So I just keep up with them.
You check on the standings every couple of months and hope they get called back up so you can root for them too. But I think you need like a great Premier League team and then one of those like to round out your experience as a
Luton Town.
There you go.
Okay. All right. I like that.
I also am curious on the Wrexham front. If they get to that point, if they get to Premier League, will that be a triumph for them?
Oh, my gosh.
Or will that be they paid their way all the way up?
From where they came, right, Dawson?
Yeah.
They were in the beer leagues, right?
I mean, it's already beyond belief for those fans to make it to the third tier, you know, relegated in, what, three of the last 4 years?
Yeah.
It's already, I'm sure... amazing for them, and they would have to like build up that stadium. You'd have to get even much bigger sponsors involved, so it's a significant climb from where they are. It's going to get serious because they're competing against fellow millionaires now, not just pub owners.
Yeah, isn't it kind of funny though that I think I mentioned like Luton Town is one of the teams, but they play in that stadium. It's in a neighborhood, like the you have to go through a neighborhood.
They had to build a bunch too.
Yeah, they had to all of a sudden you're going through a backyard to get to the visiting stands. So you're going through.
Wild.
Yeah, it's kind
of
crazy.
Did you tweet a picture of that? Is that
no?
I've seen that picture.
But they're fans that are like they're like visiting fans that are like from those high end teams. They show up and they document their journey, and as they're walking through this guy's backyard to get into the visiting stands, it's hilarious.
It's awesome.
Now, in terms of the Mavs and the Stars, I know the Stars don't start till Monday, so we'll have another show before that. What are your predictions and thoughts about those two playoff matchups?
Mavs in 6, Stars in 5.
Woo. That's what I went. Yeah, that's where I'm feeling right now.
I was doing the 6-6 thing, but I feel good about both of these series, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And
two sweeps.
Who's more likely to do the sweep?
Stars. Yeah. Although I won't be surprised if the Mavs do it. I mean, the Clippers have a really nice roster, but a lot of guys who with a massive reputation of playoff failure.
And some injury monitoring that they're having to do as well.
Kawhi.
Yeah, I'm more on the line of the 6-6 for both.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think. How would you have felt if it was the Kings?
I'd feel it would sweep.
I don't like
anything about having to play the defending Stanley Cup champions.
I'm with you on that.
There's sometimes, you know, that they you get through a season, you don't know what all the things that happened to them, but there's that pedigree that they've had, you know, so you do worry about that.
Corey, hit him with that line that you made up, though.
About sweeps?
About you got to be the man to beat the man.
Oh, yeah. You got to be the man.
That's definitely Ric Flair.
When you are the man, you got to beat the man the man. Woo.
I'll never forget the day Corey said that.
That was earlier today. It was off the top of my head, and somebody texted it in, but I also felt like I could take ownership of it as well. Thanks, Chief Olo. Appreciate that.
I loved it.
What do you guys got coming up today on the program?
Pure Gold, as always. Heggie, thanks so much for asking. Rangers in Atlanta. The pregame about 5:45, somewhere in there. Nadell will join you at 5:20.
Okay.
And Sands at 5, so we got a big baseball 5 o'clock power hour.
Yeah. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece Maker way back with us on Monday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fair.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.
He's thinking, what did I do?
And why? Why did I do it?
Why do I keep hitting the ball into my body parts?